Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, bow, bow. Bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump. What? Ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got it.
Hour number three on a Wednesday. Sun coming up, San Diego. Looks like it's going to be a beauty of a day here in Southern California. Surprise, surprise. We are Ben Woods, 97.3 The Fan. And first of all, we want to welcome the new member of the crew today, Thomas, who is filling in for producer Paul, who is recovering in a hospital room right now from his gallbladder removal surgery, which went, I want to say successfully, if we were going to issue the press release. You know, Paul Reindl, producer for Ben and Woods, underwent successful gallbladder surgery. I don't know that it was, I guess we'll kind of wait and see how successful it was.
Yeah, he said he's in a lot of pain still. Said if he's just lying there, he feels good. But if he tries to move even for a glass of water, he's in a lot of pain.
I've never seen a release from a team, you know, so-and-so underwent successful Tommy John surgery. I've never seen that release where it's like, hey, so-and-so underwent Tommy John surgery. The doctors botched it horribly.
Yeah, it did not go well.
It did not go well. This looks really bad. They never send that out release. It's always underwent successful surgery.
There's got to be like a file. There's got to be a file in Major League Baseball for a press release. You just go to it, like the MLB.com. You click on a secret portal, and then you just plug and play your team, that player, that injury. Sent, and there it is.
We're not sure if the doc was just having a bad day or maybe had a couple of martinis Totally blew it. Hey, it happens. I mean, you know what? Pitchers have bad days. Doctors have bad days.
Surgeons.
But you never see that release. It's always successful surgery. So we're hoping Paul gets better, gets back soon. But until then, we're very happy to have Thomas here with us.
Now, I'm going to see him after the show today. Are you coming back for the meeting today, Ben?
You know, it's always hit or miss with me on the meeting. I saw our boss said, we really want all talent at the meeting. There's a video we're going to be watching.
Yes.
Because normally I feel like, I just call into the meeting. It's fine.
You're a big fan of calling into the meeting.
But I felt like that statement that we're going to be watching a video and we want all talent to be there was directed at me.
I'll just read it.
I have to be there.
I wanted to remind everyone about tomorrow's staff meeting at 11. I need all talent present because we will be watching a short video demonstrating the new capabilities of radio.com Rewind. Thanks, guys. So, I feel like if you skip this one, you're a dead man.
Somehow, something always comes up between now and 9 that requires my attention.
Correct.
Apologetic, but I can't make the meeting. We'll see, though. I kind of want to go see Paul and with you in the hospital. And if I'm already still down here, maybe I'll end up at the meeting. We'll find out later today. It's a tease.
I understand why you wouldn't, but I also like when you grace us with your presence.
All right. I wanted to bring up this story. Not something that has to do with the playoffs or the Jalen Ramsey trade. We'll get to that. But when I saw this over the weekend, I immediately thought of you, Stephen Woods, and your story, which involves your stepdad, Gary Woods, who you look up to, and he took you in, and eventually you took on his last name.
Correct.
As well. And I thought that was an uncommon thing. Well, when I saw this story on ABC News over the weekend with anchor Tom Yamas from a kid from Samford University, offensive lineman. I just thought Woods needs to hear this. So this is
am I gonna cry?
This is from ABC News. A lot of people did. Let's just say that. This is from ABC News.
He's in for an easy touchdown.
In Alabama at Samford University, family weekend, and college football player George Grimwade ready to debut his secret play.
My stepdad, which sounds weird calling him my stepdad because he's always been my dad.
The senior offensive lineman decided to surprise his stepfather, Michael, who has raised him since age 8.
He doesn't have anyone to carry on his last name, and he raised me.
The two have developed such a close bond over the years that George decided to legally change his last name to honor his stepfather.
I just want his legacy to live on forever. I don't want it to end with him. So, Dad, I decided to change my name from George Andrew Grimwade to George Grimwade Musto.
George always knew the truth in his heart. Now he was ready to show the world the truth on his jersey.
I love you so much, and you really do mean the world to me. I'm so happy that I can take on that last name with Mom.
And just before the game, father and son together for a talk they'll never forget.
You know how much I love you, right?
Yeah.
And how I always, like, treasure the time I have with you.
Yeah.
Now you're my world. I got my last name changed.
George showing his dad the paperwork.
I'm now George Grimwade Musto. Look at my jersey.
Oh,
and his new jersey. This big offensive lineman showing his biggest muscle, a great big heart.
Oh, God.
I love you so much, Dad.
He was raised right. How do we know? It says it right there on his jersey.
It was a cool way to do it because the stepdad didn't know. And so, you know, he doesn't know he's not seeing the back of the jersey.
Yeah.
So he's facing him and he turns around
and has
the name on it. It's his new last name. And it's like, oh, man.
That's great.
That one totally got me. And I just thought, oh, man, Woods is really going to love this one.
That is, you know, I know that moms and dads get a lot of credit out there. But the stepdad, I mean, picture, if you will, a 10-year-old me, a 5-year-old Brent, who's my brother. My mom brings this guy home, and they're dating, and they've been on a few dates. And within, you know, a month or two, we're calling him Dad. I put myself in that position. If I was, you know, 35 and I meet a nice girl, and she's like, oh, by the way, I have two kids. Okay, great, I love kids. And I go home, and we go on a few dates. They're like, hey, Dad, do you want to go throw the football around? Like, think how terrified any normal human would be. And that's exactly what happened in my family, and all worked out for the best, obviously. But I definitely should give a shout out to stepmoms and stepdads out there, the good ones that you know make those kids their own.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, just all the reaction. You know, when they posted
you,
that
way,
online,
that,
it's like,
I'm choking.
It's dusty
up
in here. You're not crying. I'm crying. Yeah, I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yep.
That was definitely one of those that got to me, and I had it for Monday, and I thought, we've got a lot to talk about.
Man,
it's a busy weekend. It's not going anywhere.
That is a cool feel-good story,
yeah,
buddy.
We've kind of been saving that one for you. So, yeah, this is some good stuff. We haven't gotten into the big NFL headlines from yesterday.
Huge, but, right?
Yeah, I mean, the L.A. Rams do not want to look like they are standing on the sidelines,
right,
basically. They're in a battle. What do they call it? The fight for L.A.? That was the Chargers came up with that.
Correct.
But every time, you know, there seems to be a round, the round always goes to the Rams in the fight for L.A., and I think this is another example of that. Start the season 3-0, coming off their Super Bowl year. Everything's great. Hey, look at the Rams. No hangover for the Rams after the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden, offensive line play gets sloppy. They suffer some injuries. Jared Goff clearly has had a couple of off games. Todd Gurley is now less than 100%. He missed that last game against the San Francisco 49ers. And three straight losses have the Rams in a world of hurt. I mean, they're in a tough division. The 49ers are undefeated. The Seattle Seahawks could be just as good,
yep,
as the 49ers in that division. And here are the Rams sitting at 500. So what do? You tuck tail and say, well, maybe we'll sneak into a wild card. Maybe this just isn't our year. Not if you're the Rams, and not if you're in a fight for L.A. You go out and you make a series of moves yesterday, starting by trading away cornerback Marcus Peters to the Ravens to pick up some offensive line help. And everyone at that point knew something must be up.
Linebacker, I thought.
Linebacker, that's right.
Yeah.
They still need some offensive line help. But everyone knew something must be up at that point because Aqib Talib had just been placed on the injured reserve list.
Yeah.
So who's going to be your cornerback? Well, there's only one big name that's out there, you know, has been on the trade market the last couple of weeks. And lo and behold, later in the afternoon, the Rams pulled it off and acquired Jalen Ramsey for 2 first-round draft picks and a 4th-round draft pick. And, you know, once again, got people talking about, well, they made a move early enough that this could be the trade that salvages their season and keeps them as a Super Bowl contender.
Guy's one of the best cornerbacks to play this game of football. He's kind of a lunatic. I mean, we've had our fun with Jalen Ramsey for sure over the last year or so. But
Their defense just got a lot better. But, you know, you also traded Marcus Peters. It's not exactly a wash. But Jalen Ramsey's a dynamic, game-changing type player. But they need more help than that, Benny. And they have traded away. Our buddy Craig Meddy is going to be joining us tomorrow, Cash Meddy, for his segment. He sent out a pretty great tweet. It said, just saw it will be 5 years of no first-round picks, 2017 through 2021. Good luck with that. First-rounders on rookie deals are huge bargains. Plus, they way overpaid Goff and overpaid a running back with shredded knees. I mean, it's hard to make it all work in the NFL when all you do is acquire superstars.
Well, undoubtedly, they're going to have to pay the piper
at
some point for their series of aggressive moves. But if you're ever going to be aggressive in the NFL, aren't you going to do it when you've just moved to a new market
and
you're competing with another team for fans and eyeballs and loyalty? Most fans, if there are looking for a team in Los Angeles, and we've noticed that not a ton are, but for those fans that are trying to decide between the Rams and the Chargers, they're going to make up their minds in the first year or two.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the Rams who have come out, and they've been bold. You know, they've gone out, made the trade, spent the money, brought in the big names and the superstars.
Gone to a Super Bowl.
Gone to a Super Bowl, recognizable names. The Chargers are in that same boat, and they continue to do the old, well, we don't want to trade away those future assets, those first-round picks. You know, those can be very controllable assets, and we want to be prudent for the future. Well, Phillip Rivers is going to be gone in a couple of years.
Yeah.
You had a team last year that was, you know, on the brink. You tied for the division title but lost the tiebreaker. That meant you had to play wild card games on the road. This year, everyone thought, hey, legit Super Bowl contender. You suffer a couple of injuries. What do you do? Throw in the towel? Or do you go out and get a big-name player? Well, if you're the Chargers, it certainly looks like you throw in the towel, and it's the other team in town, the Rams, that are willing to make the big, splashy move to try to keep that loyalty that they've already started to build up with a Super Bowl appearance in just their third season in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a move I think that they had to make. It's a move that, again, keeps people talking about them in L.A. It's Hollywood. It's flashy. They're going to win the fight for L.A. They've already won it. I mean, it's not even really a competition at this point. And moves like that only solidify that Hollywood image that they're trying to project
there. Now, from
there
a football standpoint, I mean, who knows if this makes a difference. Odds makers in Vegas put the Rams from 60-1 to win the Super Bowl at 3-3 to 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. It's... yeah, a little bit better, but it's not exactly like, all right, now we've got a coin flip chance. You're still, they have you at 1-50
right.
of winning the Super Bowl with Jalen Ramsey. That's two first-round draft picks that you traded for a marginal, 5%, 7% increase in your chance to win the Super Bowl, at least according to Vegas odds makers. Now, Ramsey still has, a couple of years left on his first deal.
Be fun to watch, I'll tell you that. Yeah, it's going to be fun to
watch. He'll be fun to watch in L.A. You know, the media, they're going to gravitate toward him immediately. More eyeballs on the Rams. I think that was part of the equation here, making that deal. Not just what they needed right now, which is really, honestly, more offensive line help. I saw people argue you should have traded for the left tackle from Washington, Trent Williams. That would have made a much bigger difference for the Rams right away. But no one comes to the games to see Trent Williams at the Coliseum. They might come to see Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, you're right. You're right again, man. And Trent Williams is that's another guy. Are they saying they're expecting him to get moved?
He's definitely been so well. I mean, just the Washington so bad.
They're so bad.
And,
why wouldn't you if you're them? Yeah, you need to shut the mother down.
Sure. All right, we got Don't Do This coming up next. Embarrassing night for one of our national teams here in this country.
Okay, well, I got Yankee fans and Astro fans both calling each other the worst fan base ever. This is pretty good stuff.
All right, that's coming up next with Ben and Woods. Right now, let's get a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan with Suda Vincent. All right, before we get to our three sports stories to make you shake your head, just a reminder, coming up before the top of the hour, next 30 minutes or so, listen for your name to be called as the biggest fan. If you hear your name, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back to win a four-pack of tickets to the Halloween Bash at Viejas Casino and Resort. They're going to have a big $750 costume contest. We'll also enter you into our grand prize drawing for a Las Vegas getaway, including show tickets to Absinthe at Caesar's Palace, Opium at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, and the brand-new Atomic Saloon Show. All you have to do is sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. So that is coming up here in the next 30 minutes or so. Woods, I'll let you get us started on Don't Do This
Where's
today.
The song? We got the song. Hit it.
Don't Do This.
Boom.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
Presented by Hamul Casino.
Be there or be square.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, man, we got an Oakland Raider in trouble with the law, which is the first time that's ever happened, ever. Trent Brown has been accused, he's the offensive tackle, Trent Brown, been accused of multiple acts of domestic violence against his girlfriend as part of a civil lawsuit she filed earlier in the week. The details are pretty gnarly, Ben. She basically said she would leave meetings with him bruised, bloodied, and battered from the attacks, lived in fear of Brown. They began dating in March of 2017. They had a child together in January of this year. After threatening to leave him with their child, he told the woman, allegedly, "I will shoot your ass in the effing head before you walk out that door with my son," which is just gnarly. That guy signed a 4-year deal worth $66 million in the offseason. So he is now, they're investigating all of these reports. That is not a good look. That is what Don't Do This was made for.
Yes, it was. All right, this is also what Don't Do This was made for. Theo Epstein, the president of the Chicago Cubs, currently searching for a new manager for that team as well. He is also the subject of a new lawsuit. This from the Chicago Tribune. According to the Phoenix New Times, the lawsuit filed Tuesday in Maricopa County said Epstein. I have trouble with Theo.
I know you do.
Theo Epstein.
I've always heard Epstein.
Epstein or yeah. Epstein? Theo Epstein.
Theo.
I think it's Epstein.
I think it's Epstein.
Now we're bogged down in the minutiae.
We are.
All right. Theo was renting a home during spring training in 2015, and the owners claim that his dog left a terrible odor and urine-stained carpeting that Theo did not pay for the damages and is being sued. The repair estimate, $51,405. How could a dog pee on over $50,000 of a house?
Well, they said it went through the carpet into the tile floor or
the slab. All the way through the pad and the slab.
That's
they have to replace the entire foundation of the house.
Seriously.
Because a dog peed?
Theo, we're going to have to rip the house
now,
down and build
from There's always
scratch.
Two sides to this story. Theo apparently moved out of the house early because of a scorpion infestation.
Friggin' Arizona, man. God.
Sounds like there could be a he said, she said, it peed sort of scenario going on with this lawsuit, but seems like a headache for Theo and a don't do this either way.
All right, man. So, look, the playoffs bring out some weirdos. There's no question about it. Josh Reddick plays for the Astros, was at Yankee Stadium, and I didn't see this happening.
Shouldn't the playoffs bring out less weirdos? Your tickets are more expensive, you know, they're more coveted. You just get more normal fans for the playoffs.
Yeah, you're more hyper. You drink more, probably. It's definitely more nerve-wracking. And so Yankee fans did, I guess, what Yankee fans are want to do from time to time. They were talking to Josh Reddick about it after the game.
We saw some debris come on the field. Craziness. What was it like to play in this game with the fans?
Oh, they're hectic. You know, that's the nice way of putting it right now. But, you know, stuff like that really doesn't belong in baseball. Throwing stuff on the field, it's kind of disrespectful. So it's kind of tough to deal with, especially when stuff like that happens. But you deal with it. You move on. The win here is the bigger statement.
So I didn't see anything being thrown on the field. It wouldn't certainly surprise me, nor would it be
they
the first
They did make
time.
Like an announcement to fans, right? Don't throw objects onto the field.
Yeah, I saw that come across my Twitter feed. But, I mean, do Yankee fans get a rap for that? Yeah, they do. Some of it's deserved. But I also think it's only to be fair and balanced. I saw a story out of Houston where a 73-year-old man named James Dinkins, Ben, he was a former Justice of the Peace. His nickname is The Judge, was at the game, and he was arrested on a misdemeanor assault charge after police said he slapped the Yankee fan in the back of his head repeatedly. The Yankee fan stood up to cheer and clap, and the guy slapped him in the back of the head. The guy turned around and slapped him again, slapped him several times. So I've said this before. I'll say it again.
I think a judge would know better.
You would think so. There are a-holes ever. The Marlins. There are idiots out of the 3,000 people that go to their games. There are idiots that go to their games as well. It's unfortunately kind of part of the game these days.
I remember at one point Jim Rome had glossed, wasn't it San Francisco Giants fans, as the battery chuckers
yeah.
because of their proclivity
to... Eagles fans,
was
it
Eagles
it?
Fans yeah. or Battery Checkers because of their just how common it was to throw double A's down at, you know, those things are heavy and they hurt.
Bro.
If they hit you down there.
Don't throw, first of all, Yankee fans don't throw stuff on the field. Houston fans don't slap people in the back of the heads. Look, they're everywhere. They're in every fan base. The Padres got them. The Dodgers got them. The Giants got them. Every fan base has those guys that you just look at and you're like, I wish you weren't here. You're bringing us all down. You're giving us all a bad name.
Now, I was also going to light up the U.S. men's national soccer team for losing to Canada for the first time since 1985. We got a big soccer fan in the building we were going to try to get on, but he's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. They got a new coach, Greg Berhalter. Haven't lost to Canada since 1985.
What does this mean, though?
I mean, it's like a pre-qualifier, nothing sort of match. It just means that they stink, basically. I mean, you can't lose to Canada. I mean, Mexico, it's one thing. You lose to Mexico, at least they have soccer tradition, and, you know, that's a World Cup team every 4 years. Canada is not. Canada doesn't go to the World Cup. They're worse than the United States usually at soccer. Shows that we're going in the wrong direction, basically, in this sport, in this country.
So is this, I don't want to sound rude. I'm not educated, really, on the U.S. men's national team. I'm just not. This is a bad look for them, is what
very
you're
bad
saying.
Look, very yes. bad
very
look.
Very bad look. But has not eliminated them for anything.
Game. Okay. Not a big game,
all
just
right.
a bad sign.
I did see some freaking out about it yesterday.
For the future, for sure. And that all is right. Don't Do This for a Wednesday. All right, coming up here before the top of the hour, we got our biggest fan. Also, a fellow Encinitan. Is that what we're called from Encinitas?
Encinitian.
goes viral on the internet.
He's a Cardiffian, though, isn't he?
Well, that's part of Encinitas.
Oh, is it? I thought it was its own separate
no,
place.
No, Cardiff, Leucadia, all part of greater Encinitas.
All right.
So that is coming up. We're about to talk fantasy football with our expert Joe Bartel. First, though, let's get a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. See how the Wednesday morning roads look with Sue DeVincent.
Traffic brought to you by Tenet Planet. CHP checking on a crash northbound 5 north of Balboa. The accident eastbound 78 west of the 15 is cleared. Not the traffic. It's still jammed all the way from Vista. Meantime, looks like we've got an earlier accident here. North 15 near Arrow still causing problems. Stopped up traffic on the 15 north from the 805. Meantime, southbound 15, watch for just north of the 163, a large bumper in the two right lanes. Westbound 8, crawling, La Mesa to Mission Valley, 94. You got it from the 125 into downtown. Tenet Planet offers premium property management at $79 a month. Flat fee, no matter the size or value of the home, you pay $79 a month for full service property management. Visit tenantplanet.com to learn more. That's tenantplanet.com. Sue DeVincent with Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
Now, Joe Bartel is our expert from RotoWire.com. For two decades, the industry's premium fantasy sports resource. Let RotoWire help you win at fantasy football. They have all the information you'll need to dominate your league. Get a free day, 10-day trial for Ben and Woods listeners. Go to rotowire.com/free. Joe joins us each week. Usually at 6:35. I double booked, unfortunately, this morning because Paul's out. I appreciate Joe backing it up here to 7:35. Get a new audience for you, Joe, this morning. It's good to have you.
Hey, it's always good to be flexible in these situations. And anytime I can talk about fantasy football is the best time. It doesn't matter what time of day it is.
Benny, you got to let me go first this week because I'm that guy. I drafted a few Steelers. They've done pretty well for me. Now they're out on bye, and I'm panicking, and I've got to make some moves. The running back position is always one that's tough to stream. You kind of got to have your two or three guys there. I unfortunately do not. Are there any decent options that you could see being a nice fill-in stream for in the running back position this week?
I wish I could give you some good news. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. Maybe a guy like Matt Breida or Tevin Coleman is available on waivers. Of course, the 49ers had to buy 2 weeks ago, and we've seen the San Francisco kind of rotate the running backs around a little bit to the point where maybe they're available on waivers. And that's great because they play the Redskins this week. Jamal Williams might be an interesting name to monitor, especially if you're in a bind with James Conner on a bye. Obviously, he's not going to be putting up 20-plus points again like he did last week, or I guess I should say Monday against the Lions. But I do think it's going to be more of a timeshare with Aaron Jones. We've seen it before. Really, Jamal Williams just missed time due to a concussion on a dirty play from the Eagles on that Thursday night game. So that might be an interesting game to monitor. And then the guy like Devin Singletary, who has been injured. The Bills were on a bye last week. I love this matchup quite a bit against the Dolphins. And frankly, I don't think Frank Gore should be the starting running back for a team that has a possibility at making a run at the playoff spot, too. So Singletary could be available, but I think it's unlikely. I think most people are kind of at least high in his talent as a rookie right now.
All right, so I'm screwed, basically, is what you're saying. Perfect.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Unfortunately, when it comes to these bye weeks, especially like a guy like Nick Chubb or James Conner, all those ones, this is one of the first pivotal bye weeks, it feels like, and multiple key position players at running back and wide receiver are going to be out.
Well, I've got some good news. I am finally, after an 0-5 start in the win column, Joe, got my first victory of the year. By the way, I had my worst week of the year, and I still won thanks to our colleague Braden Soprenant leaving Stephon Diggs on his bench.
Oh, that's genius.
And the 40 points that would have turned our game. Phew, so I dodged the bullet there. As I'm watching the games this weekend, one thing that stands out is, you know, just talking about the Packers, Aaron Rodgers throw into a bunch of guys we've never heard of. Tom Brady does it as well, other than Julian Edelman. You know, those no-name receivers. Is there anyone in particular that stands out on one of those two teams that someone's got to catch those passes, Joe, and it just seems like we never know who it's going to be?
Yeah, as a Packers fan, I've seen it all in terms of different receiver talent out there on the field, and I wish I could say it's intentional. More often than not, it's either due to injuries or ineffectiveness, whereas the Patriots are able to scheme those guys so effectively, whether it be Philip Dorsett or, you know, Rex Burkhead or the like, as far as the talent that they have. I think Alan Lazard actually could be a player. Of course, he was the one that caught the touchdown that really vaulted the Packers back into contention. It was a great throw by Aaron Rodgers, and that's what's going to have to happen when you're playing with your fourth, fifth, and sixth string receivers. But I thought it was really interesting after the game how Rodgers made a point of saying he really argued for Lazard to see in the field, and I think that's a little bit because Darius Shepherd had probably one of the worst games you could have as a fourth or fifth string receiver in terms of botching the punt and then having the ball hit him in the face and then have an interception, which completely turned around the possibility of a comeback. And, of course, obviously the Packers did, but it was aided a little bit by the officiating. I like him as a potential option, at least at the third or fourth string. Geronimo Allison is just an player for me. I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Davante Adams, and Lazard could be an interesting trio of receivers. Now, it remains to be seen how healthy MVS is going to be, and Geronimo Allison seems like he's not going to be able to go this week along with Davante Adams. So we might get at least 1 week of Lazard being another relevant fantasy asset.
Talking to Joe Bartel, he is our RotoWire fantasy football expert. Obviously, defenses are not, you know, something that one player can turn one way or another, but the trade of Jalen Ramsey to the Los Angeles Rams, you know, how much of a boost does that give a Rams defense that, you know, obviously has already suffered some losses this year due to injuries?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how healthy Ramsey is. Of course, that was kind of the point of contention, that he had this back injury, and that's why he hasn't played the last couple weeks. But is it just the Jaguars playing it safe with their star cornerback, hoping to get a trade offer, frankly, like this, two first-round picks and everything else? Or was he actually seriously hurt and wasn't able to go out there and play? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't know how – like, of course, when a receiver gets traded, it's like, oh, great, we got an explosive receiver. But it takes a little bit to learn the scheme and get in connection with the quarterback and all the different call-outs and stuff like that. So you can never anticipate – a trade working out that effectively. Golden Tate is a prime example last year where he just didn't have much of an influence on the Eagles' passing attack. I wonder if it's different, though, for cornerback. Can you just throw out Jalen Ramsey and say, all right, go ahead and just play man coverage on Julio Jones this week or Calvin Ridley and lock him down, and that's that? Or is it going to be, let's try to get Ramsey fitting into the scheme a little bit more? Oh, maybe he lets up a big play because he hasn't been able to communicate with the safeties before. That's something I just don't know how it's going to work out. I'm not really worried about the Rams' sake. I think that the Falcons are one of the worst teams right now in the NFL. And defensively, this is going to be an opportunity for Jared Goff to finally get back to what we've seen before with Sean McVay and everyone else. But that's more so the Falcons' defense than it is anything with the Rams' offense at this point.
You know, Joe, it's funny. When I'm looking for a defense, I mean, I'm looking for the same things I think everyone else is. Hey, not going to give up a lot of points. You don't want to get those negative numbers. Maybe they've got some turnover creators that can maybe get you a pick six somewhere and those big points that always help you in fantasy. I never consider special teams, but it's defense special teams in fantasy football.
Yeah.
How much should we be considering the special teams part of that equation in our fantasy games?
If we were still in the era with the Dante Halls of the world and Devin Hesters of the world, where we knew somebody could break off a punt return or kick return at any given time, then it makes more sense. But I feel like the special teams aspect of the defense special team position in fantasy football is so inconsistent. I mean, the fact that the Lions have been able to rip off, I think, two returns throughout the year so far, and that's one of the highest in the league, says something, right? Like, you're not thinking, oh, I need to have the Detroit Lions in my lineup just because I want to make sure they get a special teams touchdown if it happens. More often than not, it's easier to target the bad matchups, whether it be the Jets when they have Luke Falk at quarterback, or Dolphins right now, or Redskins right now, those types of teams, and know consistently that they're going to be just bad, as opposed to rolling the dice and hoping for a special teams touchdown that, frankly, the NFL has been trying to get out of the game now for the last 3, 4, 5 years, and we've seen it really deteriorate in terms of actually big returns happening and whatever else.
We're talking to our man Joe Bartel from RotoWire here on Ben and Woods, doing a little fantasy football as we always do. Hunter Henry, I mean, the Chargers, bad loss. I mean, that's a game they don't want to lose at all. But Hunter Henry coming back, getting a couple of scores. Do you believe in him as a viable fantasy option going forward at tight end?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I've kind of been telling everyone throughout the year, if you don't have the top eight guys, and of course we know the Kelce's, Kittle's, Zach Ertz of the world, but Austin Hooper is among the conversation as best tight end in the league right now. Darren Waller has fit into that category. Mark Andrews is too. And Evan Ingram, if you don't have those types of guys, you're sort of rolling the dice. I do think Hunter Henry fits into that category, and maybe we can expand that now to 9 or 10 overall tight ends. But again, if you're in a 12-team league, there's at least two people each and every week that are basically hoping to not get zero from the position, and they're happy with that. And having a guy like Hunter Henry, and that's why if somebody cut him after the injury in week one, you were trying to be quick to pick him up or at least capitalize on it, knowing at some point he's coming back and at some point he's going to have value. Now, he benefited significantly from essentially garbage time touchdowns at the end of the fourth quarter, and it felt like the Steelers' defense wasn't nearly as active in terms of covering Hunter Henry as maybe Keenan Allen or even Mike Williams to an extent. I don't think he's going to be able to do that this week against the Titans, and frankly, they have a pretty difficult match against the Bears the following week. So you have to understand that, great, two touchdowns, over 100 receiving yards, or I think right at 100 receiving yards. Hunter Henry's going to be back. He's great. I wouldn't say that's a for certainty, but his impact in the red zone is much needed. Austin Eckler hasn't been able to be as effective these last 2 or 3 weeks. Melvin Gordon, that's normally his bread and butter, but they haven't really been able to get him going in the red zone either. So having the big body receiver like Hunter Henry could make a difference, and I can see him catching at least a touchdown if the Chargers can move the ball against the Titans or the Bears in the next game.
Yeah, we don't care when he gets them, as long as he gets them. I don't
yes,
care if they're
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Counterpoint, Woods, he'll be hurt again in 2 weeks.
That's fine. That's season. Fine.
Just,
I know. Maybe I
just have you watched Hunter Henry the first
I have,
few seasons
I have,
of his career?
I traded
just
for
warning
him.
You. I know
for
you
him.
Did.
Yeah.
That's why he's celebrating what you're saying, Joe, right now, but in a couple of weeks he's gonna be bummed. Last thing for me, Joe, is we hit the midpoint of the season, and you got, I'm sure, some teams in your fantasy league that are starting to feel out of it. I'm kind of there at 1-5. I'm not giving up, but there's got to be some buy-low candidates, players who have had not great first halves of the season that you might want to think about trading for in the second half. Who are some of your buy-low candidates that you think are poised for a bounce back in the second half of the year?
Well, I'll give you two receivers that are both on bye, and we'll start first with Juju Smith-Schuster. At some point, we know that Mason Rudolph is going to come back, and I think once that happens, you're going to see Smith-Schuster get a little bit more involved in the offense. But this is why I like to target players right after they have a bye week. A, the owner of Juju Smith-Schuster, or the next guy I'm going to talk about, Odell Beckham Jr., have already sat through the bye. They've already made amends that they had to figure out with the roster elsewhere. But you haven't had to worry about the bye week, right? Like, that's not a punishment for you whatsoever. And I think in the case of Juju Smith-Schuster, once Mason Rudolph comes, we're going to see a bit more targets going his way. And I think the Steelers are going to have to pass the ball to be more effective. It can't just be the James Conner, Benny Snell, when Jalen Samuels returns show. That's just not going to be able to work for the Steelers to be in contention. And we know they want to be. They traded that first-round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick. The secondary has gotten better. And I think Smith-Schuster has enough talent. And frankly, there's probably people out there that think, well, he only did good when Antonio Brown was around. Now as the sole receiver, he's not going to be very good. So therefore, I just don't anticipate that's going to happen. And I think that's a great buy-low candidate overall. Like, to the point where you probably don't have to give up too much, but you know you're getting an elite talent that even in the PPR format, or I guess I should say even in the standard format, has the ability to go for 100 receiving yards and has the speed and size to get in the red zone and do something effective. So I like him as a buy-low candidate, and Odell Beckham is the other one. And it's more so that I'm interested to see what the Browns do along the offensive line. Now, of course, Jalen Ramsey was traded, but we did hear reports earlier yesterday that the Browns were sniffing around Trent Williams and maybe there's a deal in place, maybe there's not, or there could be one in the pipeline soon. I feel like something's going to get figured out. And again, we look at Baker Mayfield's schedule. Yes, they have the bye week this week. The Patriots following that, that's difficult. But around the fantasy playoffs is when you're looking at a receiver and a quarterback combination that should be one of the best in the league, going against some of the worst defenses, and we are pretty certain they're the worst defenses, like the Dolphins and the like. So I feel very confident Odell Beckett's going to be able to turn it around, and maybe he's not going to be able to return late first-round value like when you drafted him. But if you're trading for him, I do think he's going to be among the top 10 receivers in the NFL during that stretch.
Joe, as always, great stuff. I'm glad we got to expose you to a later audience this morning, but we'll expect you back at 6:35 next Wednesday in your normal slot.
No problem. Just get some coffee and we're ready to go.
All right, thanks, Joe buddy. Bartel, our expert from RotoWire.com. Again, for two decades, the industry's premium fantasy sports resource. Let RotoWire help you win at fantasy football and get our free 10-day trial for Ben and Woods listeners at RotoWire.com/free.
Are you as knowledgeable about anything as Joe Bartel is about fantasy football? Like, if I could say, if you could give me like a topic and I could say, all right, I'm just going to pound questions. Like, he doesn't know what we're going to ask him and he's always dialed in. I got nothing. I like, honestly, there's nothing. Maybe like 90s alternative rock I could probably do.
Trying to think of what I would consider myself. I mean, Padres baseball is probably one of the things I'm most knowledgeable about.
Yeah.
But he is so dialed in on everything.
Like, boom.
You know,
and he knows the matchups off the top of his head.
We don't plan our questions in advance.
Never.
He always has a detailed answer.
Always.
No matter what we throw at him.
Seriously.
That's how good he is.
He's great.
All right, Ben Woods here with you, 97.3 The Fan. Saw this. You know me. At heart, I'm a game show host.
1,000%.
You know this, that I love. Yeah. I love doing our real or fake every day. I love being the game show host. Well, in every game show, pretty much since the beginning of time, they always have that moment where the contestants introduce themselves.
Yes.
You know, the host asks a quick question. They do it on Jeopardy. They do it on just about every game show where you get like two lines. Sum up your entire life, personality, experiences in about 12 seconds.
Yep.
And they're almost always the same. I mean, every single time people talk about, you know, their wife and kids, their job, a hobby, and that's pretty much it, right? The no one breaks the mold.
Yeah, it's hard to make it count, so they don't even try.
All right, so this video has been going viral, and I thought, well, it's local, so I can bring it up here on Ben and Woods, because the guy is from Cardiff, up in our neck of the woods in Encinitas. A guy named Blair appeared on Wheel of Fortune, I think this was earlier in the week, a couple of days ago. And when Pat Sajak did his thing, he was sitting on the blue space right there on the right. You know, hey, let's meet our contestants for today on Wheel of Fortune. Went to Blair, and, Blair did it a little different than usual.
Hello, Blair. Hello. Blair Davis, Cardiff, California. Own the trucking business, it says here.
Small trucking business in San Diego.
Good for you. And talk about your family.
I've been trapped in a loveless marriage for the last 12 years to an old battle axe named Kim. She cursed my life with three stepchildren named Star, RJ, and Ryan, and I have one rotten grandson.
Oh, my God. Clearly a bit, right?
Clearly, yes. Clearly he was kidding. And he actually, Pat said, you're joking, right? He says, absolutely, I'm joking. I love them all.
That is amazing.
How would that go over in the Woods household, though?
You know,
that a bit you can pull off?
Yeah.
I think you can.
That is like our bit. I mean, that's my wife and I. We rag on. I mean, some days you're like, all right, enough. I've had enough. I've hit my limit. It's hard to know when the limit is, but I will always call her a battle axe from now on, I think. Thank you, Blair, for that. That phenomenal bit that I will be incorporating as my own. How would that go over in the Higgins household?
Well, I think not as well, maybe, but fine. I mean, she always got a good sense of humor.
Right.
But again, you know.
On the national stage.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like the one moment you've got to talk about your life. And you got 10 seconds.
You call her a battle axe.
Decides to make a joke out of it. Call her a battle axe. Cursed with a loveless marriage.
Yeah, call your kids turds, you know? Like, I think I would definitely get away with it over you.
So, yeah, Shell was at the Regal Seagull the other day, one of her friends. Oh, yeah, I know Blair up in Cardiff. Yeah, I've hung out with Blair before.
That's amazing.
Blair with his unique sense of humor that he brings onto national game show appearances.
That was fantastic.
But everyone was, like, sharing that, so I thought, want to share Blair's witticisms on TV.
Guys, go out there today and call your wife a battle axe and see how that goes. Record it, actually, and send it in.
Battle Axe Wednesdays.
Battle Axe Wednesdays on Ben and Woods. Yeah, see how that goes. Record it and send us the info.
I don't think that's
going to
go over that well.
Try it.
All right, before the top of the hour, it is time to name our biggest fan here on 97.3 The Fan. If you hear your name, you're going to have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. If you do so, you win a four-pack of tickets to the Halloween Bash at Viejas Casino and Resort. Be entered to win our grand prize as well. By the way, at that Halloween Bash, I love reading this one, their wicked bartenders will be brewing the most delish drink specials from their cauldrons. They also be entered into our grand prize drawing, the Las Vegas Getaway, including show tickets to Absinthe at Caesar's Palace, Opium at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, and the brand new Atomic Saloon Show. Here we go. We've got Elizabeth Sorensen today. Elizabeth Sorensen, your line is open right now for 10 minutes at 833-288-0973. Again, 833-288-0973. Good luck. You got 10 minutes to call us back, Elizabeth, and be the biggest fan.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We got 1 hour left here in the show. We have plenty of baseball still to discuss. I think the Washington Nationals have a really good chance to win the World Series.
Same.
Especially if one thing happens over the next few days. I will tell you what that is when we come back. Ben and Woods, 1 hour, 3 hours down. 1 hour still to go. We got Thomas in for Paul today. Hammer's here. Woodsy, I'm Ben. Stick around. Going until 9 o'clock in the Jim Rome Show right here on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.